私はそくそくそく Yes you are, yes you are, yes you are.
Come on, let's tell him.
You are good all the time, all the time. You are good, you are good.
Yes,
all the time, all the time. You are good,
you are good,
you are good.
All the time,
all the time.
So good, so good.
Yes, you are, yes, you are, yes, you are.
So good.
And you are good all the time, all the time. You are good, you are good all the time, all the time. You are good, you are good all the time, all the time. You are good.
You are good.
You are good.
How sweet the sound amazing love now flowing down from hands and feet. They were nailed to the tree. His grace flows down and covers me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing love now flowing down from head to feet. They were nailed to the tree. His grace flows down and covers me. It covers me. It covers me. It covers me. Everybody see amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing love now flowing down from hands and feet that were nailed to the tree. Grace flows down and covers me. It covers me. It covers me. It covers me.
Covers me.
Come on, come on, keep your worship going this morning. Come on, come on, we're here to bless God this morning. We're here to give God glory. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, I said holy, holy, holy is He. I'm gonna sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy. Come on and sing, sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Rainbows,
clothed in rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. Creation, I sing
peace.
You are my everything. I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come.
Hallelujah!
With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Come on, get your hands up. This is a song that we're going to sing in heaven. You better get used to it. He deserves your praise. He deserves your worship. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Sing it.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is. Creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Hallelujah. See, this is the song we're going to sing when we get to glory. The angels can't sing this song. Only the redeemed can. Can I hear the redeemed say so this morning? I said, let the redeemed say so this morning. We're going to sing that chorus one more time. Don't you ever let the angels even voice out shout. This is our song. We're the redeemed of the Lord. Let's sing to our Savior, the Master, the King, the resurrected Christ. Give him all you've got one more time. One more time with this chorus. Shout!
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for washing our sins away. Thank you, Jesus, that today we can come before the throne of God boldly. Thank you, Father, that today you are looking for those who will worship you in spirit and in truth. We say, God, don't look any further. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. Thank you, Savior. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, King. We honor you this morning with our praise and our worship. To you and you alone. You alone. You alone, Jesus. You alone, Jesus, deserve all that we have. We lay ourselves on the altar of Christ as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto you, which is our reasonable service. We declare, Jesus, take every bit of us, for you are holy, you are worthy, you are the King. Thank you for the blood. Lord, we release a fresh blood wash this morning in the name of Jesus. God, wash us clean, fresh and new this morning in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the blood this morning, Jesus. Your blood has made us whole. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, give the blood of Christ another hand clap. Come on, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, you can shout louder than that. Is your God dead? Is your God alive? Hallelujah. On your way back to your seats, make sure you welcome a few folks and let them know that my God is good. He washed my sins away.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty.
Okay, I see everybody sitting down. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. Go find somebody you don't know. Come on, get out of your chair. Get out of your chair. Don't be a snob this morning.
All creation.
coming up November 22nd, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. And also we're having a night service at 6:30 p.m. Brother Tiff Shuttlesworth, he's coming in to preach a powerful message about salvation, about the kingdom of God and how we are living in the end times. So make sure that you invite your friends, invite your family, and be here the weekend of November 22nd. Again, 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and 6:30 p.m. We'll see you here.
He sealed my...
Hey, AC family. I'm excited to welcome you to the new and improved His Tabernacle Cafe. We will now be offering to you espresso with the holiday flavors of peppermint, pumpkin, and gingerbread. If you're not an espresso fan, we still have our freshly brewed coffee. We also have muffins, bagels, and breakfast sandwiches you can have with your coffee. If you're interested in some snack items, we have those as well. We have Starburst, we have gum, whatever you may want, I'm pretty sure we're gonna have it here. So make sure that you stop by the cafe before service starts and after service concludes. Get your espresso, get your coffee, get your water, enjoy a muffin, and enjoy the fellowship in the foyer.
Good morning. Wow, that tricked me. I thought we were going back into the worship with a hallelujah song there. We were all starting to go in, and then they did commercials for us, which were awesome. So remember, Tiff Shuttlesworth will be here. Catch the vision today. If you have not already started, it's an awesome day to start at 10:30, right in between services on this side. Go ahead and join a class. Catch the vision. It's only 4 weeks long, and you'll get to know the pastors a little bit better and the vision of the house. Now, this is the time where we do finance message, and I love talking about kingdom finances. I actually think that even this morning, you should grab your pen and a piece of paper and take notes. You see, when we choose to walk in kingdom finances, that means, what are kingdom finances? Tithing, giving, sowing, being good stewards with the finances we have. That is kingdom finances, choosing to walk in kingdom finances. When we do that, hear me, there is no natural circumstance, no natural circumstance that can hinder the word of God and what it is to accomplish and what it is sent to do. Nothing can stop the word of God when you are obedient and you walk in it. Not one thing can stop it. Nothing is more powerful. The word says in Isaiah, write this one down, Isaiah 55:11, my word will not return void, that it will accomplish what it is sent out to do. I don't know about you, but that gets me happy this morning in knowing that not one natural circumstance can affect my finances. Not famine, not economic depression. Nothing can affect my finances when I walk in kingdom principles. The word of God says in Psalms 145:16 that he opens his hands and satisfies the desire of every living thing. You see, our lives are supernatural, and we should not live the same way as someone who does not have a provider. We have Jehovah Jireh, my provider, and we should not be living the same way as someone who does not have a provider. We have a provider. Oh, and I'm going to meddle in Pastor's message right now, just on a side note. We have a deliverer. We have a deliverer. What are God's sons and daughters doing in bondage? We have a deliverer. We should live differently when we have a provider and a deliverer and all the other names of God. I'm sorry, Pastor Spencer. I didn't mean to get into your message. Luke 12:24 says, consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap, and God takes care of them. How much more will he take care of us? And Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all my needs. Oh, I can't pronounce that. I had somebody look up the word for deliverer. Mephalti. God, my deliverer, Mephalti, Jehovah Jireh, Mephalti. So if you get nothing else out of this today, remember, you have a provider and you have a deliverer. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all of my needs. No matter the season, no matter the circumstance, my God, his power, his word will cut through all of it. No natural circumstance can stop my God in his power. Now, this last scripture I want to read to you shows the power of God, Psalms 1:3. They will bear fruit in every season. They will bear fruit in every season. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit in each season. Their leaves will not wither, and they will prosper in all that they do. Nothing natural can affect the supernatural in our lives. Are you ready to evoke the supernatural power of Jehovah Jireh and Jehovah Mephalti? Mephalti. All right, I'm getting an education this morning along with you. So nothing can affect that. Let's stand and step into kingdom finances with our obedience. If you'll repeat after me from Deuteronomy 28, it says, if I obey, oh, then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down and tripped me up, because I'm a child of God in every season. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream and you're a live stream family, click right now on the giving button and give right along with us. Evoke the principles of kingdom finances in your life.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
People from every nation.
People from every nation and tongue. From generation to generation, we worship you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you for who you are. We worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you for who you are. And you are good. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. So good, so good, so good. Yes, you are, yes, you are, yes, you are. And you are good all the time, all the time. You are good, you are good all the time, all the time. You are good, you are good.
Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. I'm excited about today. It's a great word from the Lord for your freedom. Turn to someone and say, you deserve to be free. Praise God. I have to fill that one out too. Praise the Lord. Today we're going to do something we don't usually do. One of the funny parts about, that's a junk one. One of the funny parts about the rumors about our church is that we are money hungry, money grabbers. So it's very rare actually that you know that we do special offerings. But today we'd like to do a special offering. Is that all right with you? Turn to someone and say, I'm going to give some seed today. Praise the Lord. Your pastor always heads it off. I believe that, wow, you guys all right back there? Okay. I believe that we've got to be people of seed. How many of you know that we ran out of room on Thursday nights for our children's ministries? We bust in this Thursday, 220 children on the church buses. That is a lot of kids. What I love about that is all the workers. Can I have all the, if you're in this room, remember, we have two services. But if you're one of the workers on Thursday nights, no matter what department, no matter where, if you'll stand for me, we just want to give you a hand clap this morning. Amen. It takes an army of people to minister on Thursday nights. Come on, one more. Give them one more shout. It takes a whole army of people to love these children that are coming in. And you know, some of these children coming in have never been in church. They've never been taught discipline. They've never been taught Jesus. So it is a phenomenal opportunity to change our generation. I shared with you a long time ago, back when school was back in session, that one of the local principals of, I believe, a junior high said that since we've been doing this program, her school has changed. And I want you to know that we are not just doing stuff to do stuff. If it doesn't work, we stop. Amen. Can I hear an amen? And this is one thing that we're doing on Thursday nights to change a culture and a generation. We might not be able to latch a hold of the mom and dad, but we can latch a hold of the children. And I'm excited about that. And that's what we're doing. So every Thursday night, this place is absolutely packed. I believe this last Thursday, there were 110 children in Rage alone, just the regular youth group. And then third to sixth grade, there was 110. Wow, that's 118 kids from the age of third to sixth grade. 118? Glory to God. Cody, how many were in Rage? 110 kids. So just in two classes, that doesn't include our children's classes on Thursday nights, there were 218 children under the age of 18. That doesn't include the children. That just includes third grade and up. I don't know about you. That's something to shout about. We're making a difference. Can I hear an amen? Probably about 6 months ago, I put out to you that we needed to raise about $25,000 to take our back garage and transition it into classrooms because we're out of room. And I want to thank the Lord. Somebody wrote a check for $25,000. Isn't that awesome? Paid for it all. These are the children we do ministry with. So this back room has just been converted. We want to invite you after service. If you aren't being prayed for, or if you have not yet gone to catch the vision, go to catch the vision, then run out back and check it out. But you're seeing the big shed that's being built out there on the parking lot. We just got the metal to put back on there. But these are the classrooms that have been erected and built to house more children for Jesus. We also had two people sew enough to buy another bus. And so now we have another brand new bus, glory to God. Remember, ours was failing. So now we have four buses still that run on Thursdays, and we have the bus we limp around every once in a while that we can run on Thursdays too if we have to. But this is the classrooms, and these are the pastors. The ministers and the pastors went back last week and spent a day and a half to 2 days working. So your ministers, your pastors, instead of calling you on the phone and nagging on you, they were back there painting, and they were back there electrocuting themselves and all the other good stuff. So we want to invite you to go back. These are the classrooms that are going to start being used. Now, where are we? We need some seed. What do we need seed for? Because we need some seats. We need tables. My wife is telling me what to say over here. We need tables and we need chairs. God made me very happy and took the pain away. And that was one of the children's testimony. So we need some tables and some chairs, and we had one little bit of an overage, about $1,600. And so what we want to do is today we want to raise the finances to pay for all of the tables, all of the chairs, so that these kids can go into room. We want to put some TVs in there too, because some of them, they need need distractions. And so these are things that we're going to do. I want to thank you for your sewing. And so this is what I'm going to ask you to do. My wife and I always sew first. So I'm taking my $100. I challenge you to sew at least $100 if you can. And we're going to take our $100 and put it in. And you want to put it in? Because I need two hands to do that. So we're going to put ours in. I challenge you today. Some of you can write the whole check for the whole thing. What do we believe in God for? Between $5,000 and $7,000. In this size congregation, that's not a big deal. So I'm excited that with what you can give, and that's all we ask. We don't warp or twist or manipulate. You do what God lays on your heart. Some of you might be able to give all of it. Some of you might be able to give $10, $5, some of you $100. You don't be manipulated. This is between you and Jesus. Listen, if you say I can give nothing, that means that you've been eating your seed. We all know that only dumb farmers go out and eat all their seed of harvest, because that means they've got nothing to plant for next year. Can I hear an amen back there from the farmers? Amen. All farmers are wise. So I want to challenge you, even if it's a dime, if all you got is a dime, it's not the amount, it's obedience. So I challenge every one of you to sow something, to sow a seed this morning. If you've got nothing, pull the lint out of your belly button. That means you didn't shower this morning. Pull the lint out of your belly button and believe God that you'll have seed to sow next week. Can I hear an amen? Write out the checks, His Tabernacle. You got your seed envelopes in front of you. When you're ready to give, just stand right to your feet. When you are ready to give, if you need an envelope, raise your hand real quick. Come on, ushers, don't stand yet, guys. We got folks that need seed envelopes. Praise the Lord, we see hands. Very good hands. You know what I'm believing for? I'm believing to take over the youth. Right now, the school systems have opened themselves up to us. Literally, they have opened themselves up to His Tabernacle Family Church to go in and do ministry with the teenagers in high schools. So God is opening opportunity. I'm believing God that we're going to be able to transition this generation so that we don't have to deal with the same mess. By the way, this is our region. Can I hear an amen? I said no devil in hell is coming to our region without getting prayed down. You know, we had people all set last night, all praying. Glory to God. We had the secret attack going on. Praise the Lord. Did you recognize what happened? We did how many tent revivals this summer? We did 2 tent revivals this summer down in Elmira. And what we said is we're putting our footprint in the city to declare it that it's ours. And then this fall, what's the devil try to do? Come on in and show his face? Well, we bound him up last night in the name of Jesus. We had people right on spot just praying in the Holy Ghost, binding that devil who's giving information to that individual so that they could not speak with clarity. It was an awesome night for us, for the kingdom of God. Can I hear an amen? The devil's defeated. I said the devil's defeated. The name of Jesus is above every single name. So today, are you ready to give? If you're ready now, just stand to your feet. Hold your seat up. We'll pray over it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, that we are sowing into good ground. We thank you, God, that we are sowing with understanding. Father, some in this room need finances to be brought back to them. Some of them need new jobs. Some of them need, Father, healing in their families and healing in their lives, healing in their bones. God, we declare in the name of Jesus, whatever they're seeding for, Lord, as we've walked in obedience, as we place it in that bin, God, we declare this generation shall not be lost in the name of Jesus. And God, we're sowing to reap, Lord, and that reaping is the souls of children and, God, the blessing in our families. In Jesus' name, and everybody receiving it, shout it. Amen. Come on and sow to the Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You are good.
Hallelujah. Turn to someone and say, thank you for being a sower. Amen. You see, I believe that we are one body. I've been teaching in the Bible school on the book of Acts. Oh, I love the book of Acts. Oh, my goodness. It is so powerful when you recognize kingdom. You see, when they recognize the principles of the kingdom, it says in the book of Acts that they all gave. And when they gave, it took away lack from the body. How many of you know that lack is never from the Lord? I said, how many of you know lack is not from God? Remember, lack was only in the garden. Excuse me, lack was not in the garden. I got to say that right. Lack was not in the garden. Lack only came after we decided, Adam and Eve, decided to own what was not theirs. They took possession. They touched what was holy, what was not theirs to touch. The moment you start touching something that's not yours, you start stepping into lack. Turn to someone and say, I hate lack. This is the year of... I said, this is the year of the kingdom. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to remind you, there are three kingdoms. You have the kingdom of heaven, which is invisible. You have the kingdom of hell, which is invisible. But then God said, I want to make my will, I want to make my kingdom visible to show, to have people that will love me, not because they have to, because the angels were programmed, but I want people to love me out of a free heart. So he created the earth to show forth his will on this earth. His kingdom came. His will was accomplished. There was a place with no lack. There was a place with absolute abundance. There was a place of relationship. There was a place of intimacy. There was a place, but one day, Adam and Eve decided to breach that and therefore stepped into lack by not obeying the Lord. Turn to someone and say, obedience is better than sacrifice. Today, I've got to preach quickly because we've got a lot of room to cover. This is a 2-week series on deliverance. Turn to someone and say, deliverance. How many of you have ever seen that movie? Don't raise your hand. In our world today, actually, which is very shocking, but really, there are not many countries like America. American people do not take serious the spiritual world. We're one of the only countries in the world that is in that position. The majority of other countries recognize the spiritual principles because they recognize the spirits. Now, especially when you get into third world countries, they start recognizing because of the manifestations. In the Yucatan Peninsula, where we do ministry, the Mayans worship a snake god. They actually have and feed a snake every year. They feed this snake a baby who's living as a sacrifice to their god. They actually have God set up in their homes, and they have God set up every... They have demonic manifestations on a normal basis. It's not a strange thing. But you see, in America, it's very unique. In America, we start talking about witch doctor. The very first thing that comes to your mind is, I saw the witch doctor and... So we look at this and we've been so desensitized of the spiritual principles, but yet we've got to get back to understanding that demons are real. The Bible says that 1/3 of the angels went with Lucifer when he was cast out of heaven. We don't know how many of that are, but we know that there's a good bunch of them. We know that there's enough of them to go around and too many. Can I hear an amen? Some of them are so evil that they've been locked into the abyss and will not be let loose until the great tribulation period. That's found in the book of Jude. You see, there are some angels that are minions. We know that the Lord said that we have there are princes and there are powers of the air. So there are different levels of demonic spirits. There are spirits that are over countries. There are spirits that are over regions. There are spirits that are over states. And you know, many times in Christianity, we, especially in America, we so downplay the diabolical because we cannot see them. We live more in what we can see than in what we cannot see. But yet the Bible declares in the book of 1 Corinthians that we should not look at the things which we can see, for they are temporal, but the things which cannot be seen, for they are eternal. We base our whole life not on the scripture that says, I walk by faith and not by sight, but we walk more by sight than we do by faith. Now, here's the difficulty, and that is when American churches, when people get saved, we say our prayer. Now, how many of you have ever accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Ray, you have not. We're going to have an altar call for you later, brother. You know. We say, Jesus, come into our heart, and some of you said a prayer at the altar. Some of you said a prayer at home, and some of you said a prayer in a car, and you accepted Christ as your Savior. Some of you, there was no change, which means you need to figure out prayers don't get you to heaven. Relationship does. That it's not about saying a nice little prayerette and everything's good. Come on now. Can I hear an amen? But it's about living the life for Christ. Now, this is the challenge of what I want to talk about today. I did all of that to get to here. Glory to God. It took me 3 minutes and 50 seconds to get here. The king's passion and responsibility is to protect his citizens. Now, how many of you know when you accepted Jesus, you became a citizen of heaven? You are now part of the household of faith. That now, this is not your home. You are sojourners. Don't get comfortable. Can I hear an amen? You see, this is where, again, Christianity has taken a spin. We now just get all settled and set down here on earth, and we just want God's blessing. But we need to recognize that we are here but just for a season. Shout amen. And in the season that we're here, we're called here as ambassadors to do the will and the work of God, not to always sit around and just be happy and do whatever we want. But the fact is that God wants to bless you, but the truth is that you and I are called here for destiny and purpose, and there are some people that only you will be able to reach. Unless you step into your calling, unless you step into your purpose, there will be people that will be lost for all of eternity. The king's job is to protect us, but we have to allow him to protect us. Now, my wife and I went to Mexico about 2 weeks ago to go down and do ministry with Brother Chico Hernandez from Mexico and Cuba. Brother Chico Hernandez from Mexico and Cuba. And so we went down, we did ministry, and we got off the airplane. Now, you need to know, we're going into a different country. We're not going into America. In the old days, you didn't need a passport. But now you have to have a passport to go to Mexico. So you get off the airplane, and you go, and they validate your passport, and then you grab your luggage. Well, we grabbed our luggage, and we looked over, and there is an older lady, probably in her late 50s. Boy, that's not older, because I'm close to that. A more mature individual. Jesus, help me. I almost got stoned to death. And they had all of her clothes on the table. I'm talking like her undies were out there. Everything she had in her big old suitcase was laid out on the table. And next to that was a banana. And so I had to ask when I saw Chico, I said, what's going on? And the fact was that you are not allowed to bring produce into Mexico. You're not allowed to. It is illegal. So because she brought a banana, they unloaded her entire suitcase to make sure that was the only banana that she had. Well, why is that? Because there are things that you cannot see that are laid inside of banana peels that certain countries do not want participating in their country that will destroy a crop. When you gave your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, when you got saved, you entered a new country. Can I hear an amen? And God wants to get some things off of you and out of you that are he will not allow into his country. Remember, a kingdom is a country. This is not our home. We are part of the
kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is within us. We are the children of the King. And God is saying, listen, some of you got stuff on you that you need deliverance from, that you are carrying into my country that is illegal, and I'm going to help you get it off. Now that lady lost her banana. Some of you today are going to lose some bananas. Can I hear an amen? If you saw the post this morning, it was a man that was in an airplane, and there was a man up in the, where they do the what do they call those? The carry-ons. A stowaway. I want you to know that today, being a stowaway is illegal. And I want you to hear it in the spirit. God wants no stowaways on you. God wants no stowaways on you. Now, I'm not talking your past little emotional things. I'm talking spirits. I'm talking demonic, literal, not figurative. I'm not talking like mysterious. I'm not talking deliverance that you watched on TV. I'm not, listen now, our children have been so desensitized by watching the cartoons that they no longer take spirituality as a reality. Man, I remember in the days when demons were considered something you stayed away from. Now in today's society, it is not a strange thing. In fact, even in our schools, we perpetuated books that propelled sorcery and demonic entities and spirits, and we said it was all good. The fact is the fact. The demon activity has never ceased. Demonology has not stopped because we are in the 21st century. 22nd. 21st? 21st. Whew. I don't want to be any older. So what's happened? Well, let me tell you what's happened in America. The demons have gone underground. There are demons in this room today. There are spirits in this room today. How many of you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Not everybody. I said, how many of you love the Lord Jesus Christ? He says that his angels encamp around you. So right now, you don't have a guardian angel. That was a nice little storybook that people put out to start a new religion where people started worshiping angels instead of worshiping the creator of the angels. But if you are born again, shout I am, you have at least four angels, which means this place is pretty crowded. Can I hear an amen? You see, when they see angels, they're usually 8 to 10 feet tall. They're big, broad. They're beastly things. So we all got at least four of them. One guy named his Thug and Razor and... But just like we have angels that surround us, there are some of us that are in this room that have carried around demons for years. You've got stowaways on you. Now I want to say this right up front because I believe it's important. Let's talk about the verse. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. That's John chapter 8, verse 36. God does not want you carrying around demonic spirits. God does not want you hindered and halted. God does not want you weighted down. God wants you free and free indeed. That means without any hindrances. And that is the passion of heaven. That when you come to his house, you're not carrying an imp here or there, but that you are free and clean in the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, some people have said, well, isn't just getting saved good enough? Absolutely. You'll go to heaven if you get born again. Confess the Lord with your mouth. Believe in your heart that God raised from the dead. You shall be saved. But that doesn't mean that you are free from the demons. And some people don't even want to be free. I want to explain really quickly as I've got to move on fast. There is a difference between oppression and possession. Possession, a Christian cannot be possessed by a demon. Say that right out loud. If you are born again, shout I am. If you're, now, if you're not, and you just shouted that, you know, it's called a lie. If you're born again, shout, I am. That means you're possessed by God himself. The Bible says that you now become the temple of the Holy Ghost, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. That literally the Spirit of the living God comes and dwells inside of you. You now are encapsulating in your spirit man, who was once dead but now is alive. Why is it alive? Because the Holy Spirit who brooded over the earth now dwells literally inside of you. A person that is born again cannot have a demon living inside of them. Why? Because God does not share a house well. The Bible is very clear in the book of Mark. I want to get the verse for you so you can see it. I'm just rushing through. Mark chapter 3, verse 25. A house divided against itself cannot stand. God will not share a house in possession with a demonic spirit. So if you're born again, shout I am, you cannot be possessed by a devil because you're already possessed by God. Turn to someone and say, I'm possessed. I want to remind you, the devil only ever comes to counterfeit what God has done. Now, a Christian cannot be possessed, but a Christian can be oppressed. What is oppression? Oppression is when a spirit will come upon you, will manipulate you, but cannot live inside of you as a Christian. So there are many Christians that are literally oppressed by devils because you've given them opportunity in your life. And today, God wants you to be free. You've wondered why you can only go so far in Jesus. You've wondered why, man, you seem to always go back to the same sin. You wonder why it's always a struggle. And man, you've tried this Christian stuff more than once. You've tried it, but it doesn't seem to work. I'll tell you why. Because many times an assignment has been yielded against you. And God today is ready and willing and able to cancel that assignment. Take that devil off you. Take that demon off of you that has been luring you and destroying you and trying to kill you. For he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Demons attach and can intensely influence our lives. So where did they come from? Some of the devils that are in our lives they're all from impartation. What's impartation? Impartation is that somebody has something that they give to you. Some of you have parental impartation. Some of you have carried the same sins from one generation to the next generation to the next generation. And you swore to God that you would never be caught up into that same sin. And you did everything with your willpower to come against it. And bam, you're right back in it. Some people, because of the friends. Some people, because of where you go. Whether you recognize it or not. And that's why we were posting on Facebook yesterday. What, trying to keep you, hello, the saints of God, out of the devil's domain. You know, we sent in the prayer warriors, but the fact was is that some of you went for entertainment. Well, what you don't recognize is the spirit that that individual has, that same spirit can come on you. Demons are no respecter of persons. They'll take care of you real good. Impartation, where you go is imperative. What you do is imperative. It is important to guard your spirit. There's nothing more important than guarding your spiritual man, than guarding the house of God, than guarding yourself from impartation and a spirit coming upon you. Now, I'm not here to try to scare anybody, because I want you to know today that we have all authority and all power over every devil of hell. But you see, if you're ignorant of the fact, you can have a spirit on you, not know it, and therefore participate with it. And today is an educational day. I'll be done in another hour at least. Rock solid faith is canceled. So, Pastor, how do I know whether it is a demon or just my flesh? This is important. You got to know this. Now, when you're born again, the Spirit of God dwells inside of you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Can I hear an amen? So there's no devil of hell that can overpower you unless you don't recognize its weapons and warfare. The Bible says don't be ignorant of the devil's devices. So the devil has devices or plans or assignments or war tactics that he uses against the believers to overpower them, overcome them, to do his only design. You see, the devil and the demons from hell only have one purpose. It's found in John chapter 10, verse 10. For the devil has come but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's why people that go to the psychics and all these other things, they go for entertainment. What they don't recognize is the devil will allure them with sweetness, but ultimately he'll kill them with death. His goal is not to pacify, placate you. His goal is to get you into eternity separated from God with him. And however he has to do it, with sweetness, with kindness, however he has to do it, with deception, he will do. It's called doctrines of demons. He'll do whatever he has to do to get you out of Christianity, to get you out of the family of God and back into the demonic world. But remember, I've said this before, there's no greater trophy to Satan than one who once served God. See, if you were always his, then he's got nothing to gloat over. But when you once served the Lord, but yet you submitted yourself to a spirit, whether it be generational, we're going to cover some of them this morning. Is that all right? Because some of you need to be free. Now, here's the problem. Like I said earlier, not everybody wants to be free. I've met women and I have met men who love Jesus to an extent. They love Jesus enough to get them out of hell, but they don't love Jesus enough to truly submit their life to him. So therefore, they carry around demon spirits on them. They'll carry around spirits on their life. Now, they'll come to church every Sunday, but don't forget that they were at the bar on Saturday. That they were sleeping with a different person or with a man that's not their husband the night before. Or they smoked some weed before they came to church on Sunday morning. Demons are real, and whether you realize it or not, they have great influence in people's lives who give them the right to be influenced. Some of you have loved God with all of your heart. At one point in time, you can actually look back and see that you loved God more before. And now you're in that slip-sliding away factor to where you're slowly walking away from Jesus. And you're grasping and you're gripping, trying to get a hold of the God that you once knew, trying to call out to Jesus that you once knew, but yet you continue in the same pattern of life. I want you to know today that you cannot break the power of a devil if you're going to continue to go back and have supper with him. That was tweetable. There are certain demons that I want to talk about today. Certain devils attack our minds. Some of them attack our hearts. But either way, you're going to find that a devil has no right to be in you, but he can definitely come on you. You have the responsibility to recognize a spirit and to bind it up so it has its assignment canceled in your life. You want the preacher to do it, but it's not the preacher's job to do it. Every one of you in this room that's born again have all authority over the power of the devil. That's Luke chapter 10. Every demon in hell is subject to you, even Satan. Remember, the disciples came back in Luke 10 and said, Jesus, man, we are so excited. All the devils were cast out in your name. Man, if you saw the great things we did in your name, glory to God, all the demons that came out of people. And Jesus said, that's no big deal, man. I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Man, don't be excited that the demons are subject to you in my name. Be excited that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Why? Because the fact is, the devil is defeated. The devil is under your feet. Jesus, the Bible declares, made an open show of him, which says this. He took him out on the street, kicked his butt, and let him lay in right there and said, hey, I just did this thing. The devil's been fully defeated. But what happens is, if you play with a devil, they'll play with you. And some of you have been playing with devils for a long time. Some of you got what we call, I'm just going to cover a few. Some are called the spirit of fear. This is both male and female. The spirit of fear is a powerful demonic spirit. In fact, we're seeing it more active now than we've ever seen it before in history, of my knowledge. And how do we know that? You've heard me give the statistics before. There are more antidepressant pills given in New York State than there are people. There are more people depressed than ever before. Where does depression come from? The very root of depression is a level of fear. When you start looking at root problems, remember, I call it my, I don't know if I stole it. I just know that I've always said it. It's called the dandelion theory. That is, if you walk out into the yard, you see a dandelion, you can go pick it all you want. But guess what's going to happen? It's coming back. Because until you get the root problem, that dandelion's going to keep growing. And the fact is that the spirit of fear, that devil of fear, there is a demonic spirit that is sent that brings fear upon people. It doesn't matter if you're a big man or a small man. It doesn't matter if you're an important woman or a housewife or somebody that's just living on the street. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you're from. The spirit of fear is no respecter of persons and loves to put people into fear. Why? Why does the devil love to put people in fear? Because the Bible declares in 1 John that in perfect love casts out all fear. You see, fear is the enemy of God. Fear is the opposite of faith. What is the devil after? The devil's not after your money. The devil's not after your children. What's the devil's not after your job. What's the devil after? He's after your faith. Because if the devil can steal your faith, he'll plant fear in. And where there is fear, you will not act right before God. If faith is the activator to receive supernatural things, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And if we want to please God, then we've got to have faith. Faith is trust. But you cannot have trust in someone whether you have the living of fear. We must repel fear. The Bible declares in 1 Timothy, for the Lord has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. God has called you out of fear. He's called you into freedom. He's called you into trust. He's called you to where you are no longer motivated by depression. You're no longer motivated by a spirit of depression or a spirit of fear or a spirit of torment. Some of you are tormented in your sleep. You think you're just eating bad pizza. Not bad pizza. You got a spirit coming and playing with your head while you're at night. And I want you to know that he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. No devil has a right to torment you, even in your subconscious state. For God is living inside of me. It's time to take authority. And I'm here to tell you today that my God is able to do abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. And what does he want? He wants you to live in freedom and not in fear. You've heard people say, well, you know, I'm just shy. Who lied to you? Who lied to you? Well, that's just my personality. Who lied to you? Lord, the Lord never called you to be timid. He called you to be bold in the Holy Ghost, to have a strong mind. For the Lord has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a strong mind. You and I are called to live over the top, not just called to make it by on this earth. We're called to be the example that the world says, I want the God that you serve. Some of you live in phobias. What is a phobia? It's a grown-up fear. I know people that won't cross bridges, won't go in airplanes. I remember the very first time that this spirit of fear came on me. Now, as you know, I'm a quieter person in life. I'm a very reserved individual. When I was an evangelist, I remember when it first hit me, I was on my way to Westfield, Pennsylvania to preach. I'm going down Route 15 before all the construction. I'm going down, I get about Addison Way, And all of a sudden, I saw my hands going away from the steering wheel. I felt literally every single fiber of my being go on fire. I started to get a little dizzy. I pulled over to the side of the road, got out of the vehicle. It was in winter. My wife came around. We had a friend with us who really wasn't serving the Lord. And he came around and they said, "You got you all right?" And I says, "Well, I feel a little weird. Just let me give a few minutes out here." And you know, I didn't know what was going on. All I knew was that every nerve ending was on fire. That's all I knew. I didn't feel right. I got in the passenger seat. We started going up the hill out of Lawrenceville. And all of a sudden, I just passed right out. My wife turned around, drove me back to Lawrenceville. At the bottom of that hill is a gas station. They called the ambulance. The ambulance came, and I had just been coming out of it when the ambulance got there. I went to the hospital. I didn't go in the ambulance. We ended up driving. I wanted to save money. I got to the hospital. They did all the heart tests. They did all the tests they could imagine. And they looked at me and they said, "Mr. Spencer, there's nothing wrong." And in my spirit, I heard the Lord say, "It was a devil coming on you with a panic attack." Well, I had never had a panic attack a day in my life. And then that guy who really wasn't serving the Lord came around and goes, "You know, that was probably a devil." I missed that night service. Man, don't be messing with the services. You see, the devil's afraid of you. If he can implant a spirit of fear, he'll keep timidity in your life. He'll keep you depressed. He'll keep you in phobias. He'll keep you from stepping out and doing the will of heaven. The devil hopes that you will buy his story. But I'm here to tell you today that he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And God has not given you the spirit of fear. So let me tell you what happened. I went back and I went down the next night and I preached and a woman was healed. That night, lymphoma. She was healed of lymphoma. Went back to the doctor. It was confirmed. Lymphoma was cast out of her body. I looked at the devil and I said, "You try to bring sickness on me. You try to bring fear on me. I'm going the next night and I'm going to preach healing. I'm going to preach the power of God like I've never preached it before. Don't touch me again, because every time you touch me, you're going to make me mad. And I'm going to preach the gospel like I've never preached it before." I remember I was going from Tennessee into South Carolina. I was on Route 40. And I'm driving down the road all by myself. And that same spirit tried to come on me in my truck. Immediately I saw these things, same things happening like it was on 15. But this time, I'm not dumb. And I said, "Devil, in the name of Jesus, I command you to get off me. I refuse to have a panic attack. I refuse to have a spirit of fear come on me." And I started praying in the Holy Ghost. If you drove by me that day, you'd have said, "He's insane." But I wasn't insane. I was out of my mind. I was in the mind of Christ. And by 5 miles, that devil came off me, and I've never had it since. The spirit of fear has no right in your life. Some of you allow that spirit of fear to live with you. You got to start taking an aggressive spiritual posture. Some of you just said, "Well, that's the way mom and dad were. I guess that's the way I am." You go ahead. You accept that. You see, when I got saved, I got a new mom and dad. His name is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I got new blood. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm not the same man that I was. Can I hear an amen? See, demons are powerful. SWAT. Demons are powerful. You see, we come into church on a Sunday morning. We're ready to worship. We're ready to praise. And all of a sudden, our hands are up and we're worshiping God. And those spirits that we've allowed to come into our lives, they're going to come right on in with you. Now, what will happen is you're going to start worshiping God, and then a spirit of heaviness will come upon you. You'll start thinking about all the bad things that have happened in your life. All the woe is me. And now you're going to put down your hands. You're going to stop worshiping. You pick up your Bible on a Monday morning. You're getting ready to read. And all of a sudden, you just feel, "I don't got time." You say, "Oh, that's just me." No, you just put down your Bible and you go another day. So faith is being extracted. Now fear is being planted. You start living your life. You don't even know it. They've got you by the ropes. They're manipulating you. They're pushing you. They're driving you. Listen now, you want to know what I wish I could do? I really wish we could manifest a real demon spirit. I would love for you to see just one. Because these guys are cute. The first time you see a real demon spirit, you lay a load in your britches and you pray quick. Because this is no joke. This is no joke. This is not a game. Demons are real. And they want to control your life. They want to keep you from God's greatness in your life. And many of us just allow them to motivate you. Just allow them to push you. Man, maybe you've been having a problem with the internet, men. Maybe you've been dealing with pornography, men. And man, you just want to go look up Facebook. Man, you don't want to get into any porn. But all of a sudden, the spirits are just behind you. Come on now, you go to this site. You just go to this site. It's okay. Man, you just see one picture and then you get off. You'll be fine, man. No big deal. You won't stay in that stuff. This is just a quick little fall. You'll get back up. And all of a sudden, that influence. The demons aren't sitting there. They're not beating you down with a stick, but they are influencers. They are going to whisper to you. They are going to influence in you. So how do you know whether it's the flesh or the devil? It's very easy. When you, in the Spirit of God, do not and cannot and are overpowered by a temptation that normally you have control over, but yet you're just so driven, that is when the influence of a spirit is involved in your life. When it makes no sense, come on now, when you come to yourself and you say to yourself, what am I, stupid? What did I do? Anybody ever done that before? When it's like you are watching it all happen, yet being manifested through it. You know that an assignment has been yielded against you. You see, he's just walking. He loves God. He's going to heaven. But the fact is that he doesn't even realize it. He's being manipulated by spirits that are walking with him, that he's allowed to be participating with his life, some of them from generation to generation. Get out of my way. Generation to generation. Some spirits are amazing because some are called the spirit of infirmity. There are actually sicknesses that demons will put on people. You see, in America, we have so many opportunities. Wow, is this late. We have so many opportunities. And listen, I believe in doctors. I believe anything that thwarts sickness is good. But so many of us put so much into the doctors who are practicing that we forget that they are not the great physician. There's only one great physician, and his name is Jesus Christ. And by the way, you can't medicate out a devil. You can't cut out a devil. You see, there are certain sicknesses that are caused by demon spirits. We know that some spirits of blindness. We know that some are called the spirits of deafness. We know that some are called the spirit of mute, where they cannot talk. We know the woman in Luke chapter 13, verse 11, had a spirit of infirmity. She was bent over and in no wise could raise herself up, which we call osteoporosis or arthritis. We see these kind of sicknesses in the Bible. We know that any kind of life that brings death has demonic root to it. Cancer. If you've been around cancer, you can say with me out loud, you know every stinking cancer is a devil from hell. There's not one good cancer. It's a life within a cell that breeds death. Cataracts, demonic spirit. Arthritis, demonic spirit. But yeah, spirit will come on you. You'll get an ache in your arm. Oh, well, you know, I remember when I threw my arm out playing baseball. I guess I got arthritis now. Well, I guess I just got this sickness. It's just the way it is. Well, you know, I'm 94 years old. He don't look 94, does he? 94 years old. Well, you know, I just am aging, and that's just the way it is. You don't believe God can keep you healthy till the day you die? God's package for his kingdom. The kingdom package is not healing. Healing is the Band-Aid. The package that God has for you is health. God wants you to live in health. It's not that sickness might not try to come, but when sickness comes, you have all authority over sickness in Jesus' name. For the Lord Christ Jesus not only died for your sins, but also for every sickness and disease. And listen, if it's demonically inspired, you have the responsibility to bind that sickness in Jesus' name. I remember the first time I really got this. Yeah, I'm going to be late today. The first time I really got this was when my son, I had done a revival service in Big Flats, actually, and I came home, my wife and I came home, my mother-in-law was watching the children. I lived in an apartment on Water Street that was just like a big funnel. I mean, it was a house that had two bedrooms in it, and you could look through one end of the house to see the other end of the house. So all of a sudden, I walk in the house, and I can hear someone vomiting in the toilet. And I poked my head around. It was Cody. I think he was 5 years old. Puking in the toilet. And something just rose up inside of me. I should say, someone just rose up inside of me. I walked over to the kid. His head's hanging in the toilet. I put my hand on his head. And I said, in the name of Jesus, devil, you saw me being used by God to heal the sick tonight. And I want you to know you have no right on my son. In the name of Jesus Christ, sickness, get out of his body. And moment, that very second, he stopped puking. And he never was sick again. I've watched people where cataracts literally come off their eyes. Where people who are blind were able to see, and people who are deaf were able to hear. I've watched cancers. They've gone back to the bathroom. They've gone back to their doctor, come back and said, there is no more cancer in my body. How is that? I can't heal a fly. But this one thing I know, when I pray for somebody with cancer, I'm not going, Jesus, I just pray you'll heal their cancer. No way. In the name of Jesus, you foul life within that cancer. I command you, come out of that body. You see, you cannot lay hands on a spirit. You have to cast a spirit off. You have to cast a spirit out. And I'll speak to that spirit in the name of Jesus. You foul thing, I curse you at your root. I command you to come out of that cell. I command you to come out of that body. Jesus, I command it to be rejuvenated, regenerated. I command health instead of sickness. And Lord, what has been deteriorated, I command it to be reborn. See, God is a healer. But you can't, it's not just healing when it's a devil. You got to take authority in the name of Jesus over that devil. Can I hear an amen? Oh, come on now. I got to hustle. Some of you have infirmities of your mind. There was a demon-possessed man who was living in the tombs. He was out of his mind. They tried to put shackles on him, and he had such power from the devils that he literally broke the shackles. So what did Jesus do? Jesus went in, cast the devil out. What happened to that man? The town people came to town, and this is what they said. Will you please leave our town? Why? Because the man who they couldn't even bind with chains was sitting down with Jesus hanging out in his right mind. Some of you need a spirit that's been clouding your mind to come off it in Jesus' name. Can I hear an amen? Some of you got addictive spirits, unclean devils in your life. Some of you got addiction with alcohol. Some of you got addiction with drugs. Some of you got addiction with relationships. Some of you got addiction with sex. Some of you got it. There's so many different addictions. You see, what's amazing is that God can deliver you. But when you go back and you pick up that same thing, you're inviting the devil back in your life. How many of you know it's pretty dumb hitting your thumb three times in a row with a hammer? Can I hear an amen? So why do we do that with the devil? You see, you come into a place of addiction. This unclean devil comes on you. Man, you can't control it. You know how you know when it's a devil? When you are willing to sell everything you got for liquid, a drug, or some sex or relationship, and you look back and you say to yourself years later, when you come out of it, when you've been delivered, how stupid was I that I sold my whole life for a temporary satisfaction? You see, God wants you delivered. I got to go to the end. Give me that thing. God don't want these beasts around you. It wasn't the plan of God that they were around you. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And some of you have been playing around with these devils just too long. It's not that you don't love God, but they got you all tethered up. You start making advancements to the Lord, and then all of a sudden, it seems like all hell breaks loose in your life, and all these old things start happening all over again. Where do you think they're from?
Well, I just thought it was me.
Maybe you're not. None of us in this room are that smart. None of us are that brilliant where we would destroy ourselves from what we know works great. We're not sitting back and going, boy, you know, the closer I get to Jesus, the more trouble I plan to have for myself. Hallelujah. No. But you see, the demonic want to make sure that you're tethered up. Now, I'm not saying everyone's got a devil. Some of you are just, yeah. Today we're going to pray. We're going to cast off. Some of you struggled with alcohol for years, and God set you free, and you went back to it. Now you're owned by liquid all over again. I'm going to write a country song. I've been planning it for years. I'm going to write a country song about being owned by liquid gold. Some of us have sold ourselves to the devil for liquid. That devil owns our life. And some of you being delivered, you knew it was a demonic spirit. You knew it was controlling. You knew it was destroying you. But yet you said, oh, I'll just have a half a glass of wine. It won't hurt me. Man, whenever you go back to the devil's table, no, you got to eat his meat too. You don't go back and play in his house. You put it down. You see, when you start taking authority, you see, the devils know you. So what you got to say is, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke the devil of alcohol. And I refuse to be controlled by it.
Well, my mother and my father were all controlled by it. Well, why do you got to be?
I had a man once say to me, oh, I'm going to die in my 50s. I said, huh? He said, well, everybody in my family died of heart attacks in the 50s. And I says, well, so be it as unto your faith. You see, you have the right to bind the devil in the name of Jesus and take off those bondages that he's placed on you. And you'll know it when it happens. You'll feel a liberty. You'll feel a freedom. You'll feel it come off you. I want to teach you something. Come on, I'm almost done. Two more minutes. You're late right now. You're late already for the next class. Everyone thinks that when you cast the devil off, remember, Christian can't be possessed but oppressed, that you'll never have problem with that spirit again. That is deceptive. Demons never stay further away than this. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, don't give the devil a foothold. The moment he's delivered you from this sin, the moment he's delivered you from this bondage, the moment he's been delivered, or Christ has delivered you from this demonic impression, oppression, influence, he'll stay right here. Is he on you? Is he on you? Are you free? But you see, the moment you walk back here and touch, you've just opened the door, the foothold for them to come back into your life. This is some of you. You knew you were free, and now you're in bondage all over again. If you continue opening that door, you're just letting that devil come back into your life. But he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Now you see, after a while, you got to get sick of this. Come on, get rid of that, brother. Come on, take authority. Say it. In the name of Jesus. Come on. In the name of Jesus. Devils, I take authority over you and command that you get out of my life. In Jesus' name. See, they're not afraid of you. They know the name of Jesus. They know the name of Jesus. They know the name and the authority in Jesus Christ. For every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. They know that if you know your authority, they know that if you stand in authority of Christ, they've got to back off. But watch, they're never staying but this far away. He's free, but they're never staying but this far away. Who are you letting in your life? What doors are you opening? You know you shouldn't be near. I'll say it. Why are you still playing with the beer?
Well, a beer won't send you to hell.
No, probably not. But why do you need it?
Well, I like the taste.
Oh, duels. Has nothing to do with taste. You see, more people are owned by liquid. How insane it is that people pick up a cigarette. Now, listen, I'm not condemning anybody. You aren't going to hell for smoking a cigarette. You'll smell like it, but you won't go to hell for smoking a cigarette. But you read on the package.
You'll die.
But you can't seem to break that bondage. Listen, my brother-in-law that passed away, his name was Kendall. I'm just going to tell you his story real quick because I'm already late. Doesn't matter. Chewing tobacco. He died. They cut half of his tongue off. He died because he chewed tobacco. We sit back and that's just, devils want to kill you. If you will die, then the people you're supposed to reach might die too. You're not just some floating individual on the planet. God foreordained you. God planned you. God's got purpose for you. And when he can get you, this devil can get you all bound up in a sin that, man, you are ashamed of. That when you go to the bars, you destroy your testimony. When you sit there and go lay with people, you destroy your testimony. When you open the porn, man, you feel guilty and shamed to where you don't even feel God could ever use you. I'm here to tell you today that God, he whom the Son has set free, is free indeed. You deserve to be free. The King has sent protection by the blood of the Lamb and the power in his name, and no devil in hell has a right to hold you in bondage. Oh, you see, he just wants to get you. He just wants to get you. He just wants to get you. What are you selling your soul for? You see, because after a while, I got to end. After a while, you know, you just play with sin for a while. But after a while, it will succumb you. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What is a man willing to give in exchange for his soul? Liquid? Some loving? Little peace? What are you willing to sell yourself for? What demon in hell is worth being controlled by? Temporary satisfaction. You've been alive for any years, man. You know it goes by quick. And the devil don't mind playing with you good for a while. But then you got to pay the piper, boy. You got to pay that devil. And his price ain't cheap. It's your life. It's your destiny. It's your calling. And it's your purpose. Bow your heads with me this morning. Good, guys. Go right off.
Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I don't have a church or a religion for you to join. But I have a Jesus who loves you with an everlasting love, who came to set you free, give you destiny and purpose. Next week, I'm getting into witchcraft. Next week, I'm getting into certain other demons that you'll have in your life, that you might have in your life, that you need to be freed from. Some of you got generational curses that have followed through that you need to break down next week. But these are the ones we're dealing with today. But the greatest thing that you got to do is come on the right side. See, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, well, I love God. You don't love God. Don't lie to yourself. Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. One of the amazing parts I found online yesterday with the Facebook thing was how many people say, well, I believe in God. He's a good God. I love God. And they're so deceived. Because truthfully, even the demons believe in God and tremble, James chapter 2. Even the devils believe in God. It's no special thing that you believe in God. It doesn't mean that you're going to heaven. And if you say you love God, don't read 1 John. Because 1 John will tell you, if you're not going to be obedient, then the love of the Father is not even in you. That's right. It does say you're a liar. The Bible is really strong.
Well, I don't like that Brother Spencer, that Pastor Spencer. He's just mean. No, baby, I'm trying to save your life.
I'm not here for you to join a church. I'm here for you to save your life. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I don't care how long you've been coming to this church, but you're not right with God, and today you want to get right with God. Today you want to make the first steps of giving your life to Jesus. I want you to raise your hand up right now. I'm not going to wait long, guys. I'm out of time. Come on, you need Christ Jesus as your Savior. Raise your hand up now. 5. Come on, get your hand up. 4, 3, 2. Last call. 1. Thank you, young lady. I see your hand. Is there anyone else? Come on. Stand with me, please. Okay, now, this is what we're going to do. I need all the pastors and prayer team to come around the front of the altar. Some of you are struggling with these sins we're talking about. Now, I'm not talking you're just struggling in the flesh, but you know, man, that there's an oppressive spirit that's been working against you. We're going to take authority with you because you need to know how to do this yourself in the name of Jesus. So that tomorrow morning when you get up, you have that same compulsion, that same drive, that you could be free in Jesus' name. Can I hear an amen? Today, if you want to be free, you're sick and tired of the oppressive devil that's been hounding your life, some of you for their whole life. I had this woman in Tennessee. She was raped at the age of 4. At the age of 4, after she was raped, she went into herself. She went to a counselor, and the counselor told her, you need to talk to the little you inside your head for protection. Whenever you're afraid, just talk to the little you in the back corner of your mind. She said from that day forward, when she started doing that as a child, she became an introvert, but not just an introvert. What ended up happening was she literally, not figuratively, but literally would hear a little girl's voice, her little voice, telling her where to go, what to do. When I went to that church in Tennessee, she was about 30 some odd years old. I had a prayer line. She came in the prayer line. She came up near the front. I went to walk up to her, and her face stopped, boom, went into panic. She turned around and ran out of the church. I said, don't know, don't get it. The next night, she was back in the church. She came up front, and she said, I have a girl's voice, and that's what happened. I was getting ready to get prayed for, and that little girl's voice said, run. Do you think the Spirit of God would tell you to run? Well, whose voice is that? She wasn't mentally unstable. See, that's what we always think. I said, get ready, honey. And I saw it. The Holy Ghost showed me. A demon of torment was on her. That little girl was not a little girl's voice. That was a demon spirit. We're going to talk about familiar spirits next week. And I said, get ready. I didn't even touch her. Why? Because you can't lay hands on a devil and cast it off. I said, get ready. In the name of Jesus, you spirit of torment, you foul devil of fear, I command you, get ready, some of you are getting free right now. I command that spirit of fear, come off right now in Jesus' name. I literally saw her face change, and she started dancing in that church. It wasn't even a dancing church. She's dancing all over the place. And she said, I felt it come off me, Pastor. And you could see it in her countenance. That devil came off her. It wasn't in her, but came off her. I went back the next year. She never had another foul dream. She never heard that little girl's voice again. For he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Jesus wants you free. And today is the day of your deliverance. So if you're struggling today, today we want to pray with you. That young lady who gave her heart to Jesus wants to give her heart to the Lord. I'd like you to meet me right up here next to my wife.